We will resume with each of the candidates providing their opening statements, and we will begin with Candidate Gray.
I'd like to thank you all for having us here tonight, particularly the NAACP and the League of Women Voters for sponsoring this event. We were asked to give our qualifications, and if we have time to squeeze some other things in there. My name is Sue Gray, and I'm a lifelong resident of Champaign. I'm a current member of the Board of Education, and I'm a product of Unit 4 Schools. I've had over 25 years of professional work dedicated to serving this community, particularly with an emphasis on youth. I'm an active volunteer with community organizations. I'm currently a member of the Champaign Rotary Club, the Executive Club, and I've also been the Chamber of Commerce Athena Award recipient. I have currently survived two teenagers and hope to make it through the third one. I am deeply committed to the children of this community, and I want the children of Unit 4 to receive the best education possible. We have completed a strategic plan that I would like to see come to fruition at Unit 4, Great Schools Together. I'd like to help raise the level of trust in this district with our board and with our administration and with our teachers. I think our kids deserve an excellent education. I think that we need to provide communication that is timely and transparent. I also think that it's important to advocate with our legislator for school funding. And lastly, I think it's important that we develop and finalize plans for existing buildings and begin planning for new buildings. Thank you.
Thank you, Candidate Gray. Candidate Novak.
Thank you to everyone for having us here at the League of Women Voters and the NAACP. I arrived in Champaign in 1975 and have been here ever since. I was an employee of Unit 4. I spent 31 years in middle school and never got out between 1975 and 2006. In 2007, I decided to run for the board, and I've been serving on it for the last 4 years. My wife, Donna, lives with me in Savoy. My father lives a half mile to the west, and my four grandchildren and daughter live two blocks to the north. Currently, Robbie goes to Barksdale, and hopefully next year, the three oldest ones, depending on the school lottery, will be at Cary Busey. In my time in Unit 4, I spent a number of years as a board watcher, almost 15. I really decided, ran for the board because I would like to see this board ensure that it carries out a plan of action rather than more or less moving from one crisis to another. I think we've managed to start doing that. We've had a Great Schools Together plan was a start. With the help of the community, we passed this facilities tax, which has allowed us to have a capital improvement plan for the first time in the history of the district. And we're trying to make a reconnection with the community, because I think it's very important that all the stakeholders of this community feel that they have a part and a say in what happens in Unit 4. I'll stop here.
Thank you, Candidate Novak. Candidate Shalafu.
Thank you, Dr. Cato. And thank you, everyone, for having us.
Push your button.
Again, thank you, Dr. Cato, and everyone for having us. Sure. I'm currently on the Board of Education, and I am also an active and contributing member of our community and schools through PTAs, boards, clubs, and many other activities related to trying to make our community a better place. I'm a professional architect, and I've owned my own firms, and I think that experience of being a professional but also having the business background of making those businesses work is something I can contribute to the Board of Education and to the schools. Some of the other activities that I've worked on in these past 4 years, as Greg had mentioned, with Greg, we initiated and led the community and the Great Schools Together process, which ultimately led to a new strategic plan for the district. We've implemented a new capital improvement plan to make our buildings better, safer places. And we've begun a facility committee to develop a plan of what to do with our buildings in the future. I'm also a parent of two children who are both currently at Edison Middle School. We've made so much progress over the past several years with the schools, and that's very exciting, but we have so much more to do. And I'd like to see this progress and this positive movement continue. Specifically, I'd like to see us make sure that we use our 1% sales tax correctly to develop quality schools. And I want everyone out there to know that our schools do provide an awesome education to our kids, but I want to make sure that it is always an awesome education for all of our kids and that no one's left out. I want to continue to see this district be healthy financially and look forward to another 4 years.
Thank you, Candidate Shalafu. Candidate Brown.
Good evening. I want to thank the NAACP and the League of Women Voters for inviting us here tonight and everyone in the audience for coming out and taking your time out to come watch us speak tonight. I am a Champaign native. I've been here for 28 long years in Champaign. I'm married to my wife, Erica. I have two children, Abigail and Ashton. Abigail is a former student of Champaign Schools. Ashton is currently in the third grade at Bodenfield Elementary School. I'm currently working at the University of Illinois in the Department of Civil Engineering as a lab mechanic apprentice there, and I've been there for the last 5 years. I sit on various boards within the community, the Champaign Human Relations Commission I'm a part of, where I sit as the vice chair on that board. I'm a member of the Triple E committee with the school district, and I also sit on the community board CCAP as well. And that's just to name a few. I'm running for the Unifor School Board because, as I said, I have a son that's in the school district, and I want to ensure that he has the best possible education. And to do that, the best way to do that was for me to get on the board and make the decisions. And in turn, in doing that, all the children will get that same level of education that I want for my son as well. I also want to be for the voice of for the community that feels like they have been disconnected or feel like they are not a part of this district, that the district is for someone else other than them. And so I want to be that liaison between them. And also I want to get on because I would like to explore options for non-college track kids and see what after high school options we have for them. And that's my time.
Thank you, Candidate Brown. Candidate Stuckey. Mike.
Good evening. I'd like to thank everyone who came here tonight and everyone who's watching us on television. My name is Lynn Stuckey. I've lived here in town for almost 21 years now, and my son attends Central High School, where he is a two-sport athlete. I'm probably a familiar face to many people here in this room. I'm an active community volunteer. I've taught Sunday school and served as a youth group co-leader for almost 7 years. I've been a classroom volunteer for several of my son's teachers. I've served on several PTA committees, and I've also served as secretary for the Franklin Middle School PTA. I'm a Neighborhood Watch block captain. In 2009, I was selected as the Community Volunteer of the Year by the Ministerial Alliance of Champaign-Urbana and Vicinity. In 2011, I was selected as Volunteer of the Year by the Franklin Middle School PTA. Over the last 5 years, I've also attended almost every school board meeting, and I've served on two school board subcommittees. In that time, I've had the opportunity to tour several of our schools and to meet many administrators, staff, and students. I'm running for school board because I do feel that Unit 4 schools do many things well, but we also have several areas that can and should be improved. If I am elected, I will advocate for policies and practices that ensure all students are working and achieving to their highest capabilities, a commitment to ensure that any future budget cuts impact the fewest children, active scrutiny of any and all cost-shifting efforts by the City of Champaign, and energy efficiencies and green initiatives with aggressive pursuit of federal grants and foundation monies to implement them. Thank you.
Thank you, Candidate Stuckey. And we will move right into the questions. The format that we will assume, we will begin with Candidate Gray for the first question, and then the second round of questions, we will begin with Candidate Novak and go swing back around, and you will be last for the second question, and so on and so forth. Question number one, Candidate Gray, what policies would you propose to increase the graduation rate in Unit 4 high schools?
I'm not sure that is exactly
I'm not sure that I would call it exactly a policy issue. However, we do need to look at how our curriculum is designed, how we're implementing that curriculum so that we can make sure that we, keep kids engaged in school, active in school, from the minute they walk in the door as kindergartners until they walk across that stage and receive their diploma. And so that takes a lot of work on our part as a district to make sure that we are meeting the needs of all of our students, that the curriculum is engaging and reaches them at their level, whatever that may be, be it a college track or a non-college track, with the idea that we are all focused on the single goal of helping all of these kids reach and attain graduation.
Thank you, Candidate Gray. Candidate Novak?
Yes, I think Mrs. Gray hit it on the head. We can't write a policy that says we're going to make all students graduate. What we have to do is set procedures in place and make sure that what we're doing will engage students and help them get to the final point. One of the things I was amazed to discover when I became on the board and I started looking at some data we were given was, for example, the large number of ninth grade students we have. Because what it turned out, when you get to high school, your class standing depends on your number of credits. We would have 100 or more students a year who are freshmen who were repeat freshmen and repeat sophomores who never made it to a junior and senior status. So I think we need to look at different ways. How do we engage these students? The Academic Academy, which we've come up with as this board put in place, is a very good idea. We've tried to find a different way. One of our problems we have to look at is schools have not changed very much. We still...
Thank you, Kenneth. Sorry. Gray. Novak.
No problem. I'm sorry.
No problem. Candidate Salafu?
I think we need to make sure we have curriculum that's geared to all of our children, whatever their needs are, whatever their plans and hopes are for the future. Kids come in every size, shape, and every need, and a curriculum needs to be something that's flexible and allows kids to learn and explore as they need to learn and explore, and not just on one rigid set guideline. But I don't think that the goal needs to be to get all of our kids to graduate. I think our goal needs to make sure that all of our kids graduate and are able to be productive members of society in the future, whether it's going to college, going into a trade, or whatever they choose to be. It needs to be their choice, and we need to make sure they have the tools to make those choices in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Candidate Salafu. Candidate Brown?
I'm just to echo what the previous candidates have said. It's just fully engaging the students to where they want to be at school, where they want to learn, and where they feel like they are part of the learning process, fully engaging parents as well. Let them be inside the loop and know exactly how their students are doing, what their students are doing well, what their students aren't doing so well, and get them in the process of helping out. Because once you involve parents, students they get much more engaged in the process once the parent becomes involved and know exactly what's going on. So those really are the two biggest ones, and fully engaging students and fully engaging parents helps the graduation rate.
Thank you, Candidate Brown. Candidate Stuckey?
I'd like to thank the previous members who have brought forth two very important ideas. One is the idea that we do need vocational education back in our schools, and we need it to not just be the, quote, traditional categories, which were secretarial and machinist. We live in a community that is considered a healthcare mecca, and we need to start looking at training some of our children for jobs like CNAs and phlebotomists, where they can enter the workforce very quickly. The alternative academy is also very important. Some of these children need to go back and do credit recovery. What is disheartening, however, is to sit up here and not hear mention of the fact that most children are making the decision to drop out in middle school. They're tuning out before they ever hit high school, and it's very frustrating to sit in facility committee meetings and other meetings and hear people shop the idea that we're going to build a fourth middle school. That's very inappropriate. Middle schools don't serve a large portion of our community.
Thank you, Candidate Stuckey. At this point, we will move to the second question. Candidate Novak, what is your opinion of the graduation rate for African-American students, and what three things will you do to improve it?
The problem with the graduation rate is, what a concern I have is we have students that graduate. We need to have more students graduate. But at the same time, we have a disconnect in that many of our students who do graduate and who go on to Parkland, for example, have to spend a certain amount of time taking remedial classes before they can start to work there. So we have a disconnect. If we're graduating students that can't start at Parkland, we need to go back and look at our curriculum and make our students more engaged. I mean, we need to look at what we're doing across the board in high school and perhaps down in the middle school. So I just don't think you can pick three things to say we can make this be a success.
Thank you. Candidate Shalafu?
I think obviously our graduation
rate. Mike, please, and thank you.
Thank you. I think obviously our graduation rate for African Americans needs to be higher because it is low. And it's something that we're constantly addressing. And some of the things I think that will be very important is to make sure those students see the value in getting an education. And I don't think we do a good enough job, either as a district and as a society, of making sure kids understand that value, that there's really a reason to really do the hard work that's necessary. But then again, we also have to provide a curriculum and an atmosphere where these are kids, where these kids feel safe and that they're being taken care of and provided the information that they need. So I think we have a lot of work to do to keep those rates higher, and we're continuing to work on it.
Thank you. Candidate Brown?
Well, my personal opinion, I feel that if it's not 100% obvious, it's too low. The things to do is just go back on the last question, fully engage the students, fully engage the parents, and then bring in mentorship program. And like Candidate Shalafu said, just get them to understand the value of the education.
Thank you. Candidate Stuckey?
I share everyone's concern regarding the graduation rate of our African-American students. I will remind everyone, however, that we also need to be concerned about our Hispanic students. They're also graduating at less than acceptable rates for many reasons. I do agree that, you know, curriculum makes a difference. Getting these children to recognize the value of an education makes a difference. But we're not doing anyone any favors if we're basically saying, okay, you've been here enough days, here's your graduation certificate, thank you, please don't cause any trouble in the parking lot. We need kids who are able to enter the workforce or to go to college and perform at the level they need to be at. It is a great concern to hear that we have so many children and see so many children in remediation classes at Parkland because we're failing them. And that's not good for the children or for their families or our taxpayers.
Thank you, Candidate Stuckey. Candidate Gray.
Thank you. One of the issues that I have with the graduation rate, in particular as it relates to African American students and all students for that matter, is how that rate is calculated. That's always been a concern of mine. While we show that we have very high graduation rates, I do have a concern on how did we come up with that number? Is that the number of students that started their senior year and graduated at the end of the year? Or were those the students that came as ninth graders and went all through 4 years through high school? That's what I think we need to really work on, is getting them in school, keeping them in school, and helping them to graduate. And I really think that that's going to come from engaging their families, bringing community resources to these families in the schools, open our doors, ask these families, what do you need? How can we support you and your child so we can get these kids onto a successful life after high school.
Thank you. Candidate Shalafu. President Obama wants to pass a modified version of No Child Left Behind. What can be done to improve that law?
I think the idea of... It's on. I have it on this time. I think the idea of high expectations for our children is a great thing. We have to make sure that we provide the funding to our schools to be able to provide an excellent education to all of our kids. We also have to be very careful that those high expectations for all of our kids are realistic, in that many of our kids need a lot of extra help in order to succeed. And without the funding to be able to provide that help, we can't give them the services that they deserve to have. So I would like to see the highest expectations of all of our schools. I'd also like to make sure our society backs that with the funding that the schools need to be able to serve all of our children the way they need to be served.
Thank you. Candidate Brown?
I think the best way for us to be able to make the plan, I'm not 100% familiar with what exactly is in President Obama's plan, but if we allow a plan where each student gets individual services and not one wide range of services that all students are supposed to be on the same track at the same time at the same level, I think that in itself will make the plan much better, because you're able to grade and evaluate each student based off of their own merits and not the merits of their peers as well. I also believe that if we are going to give this option where teachers have to get students to a certain level at the same time, then we have to allow them to do their style of teaching and what works best for them, because they're closest to the students, so they know what works for the students and what does not. And so we need to allow them to have that creativity to run their classrooms.
Thank you. Candidate Stuckey.
While I'm heartened to see possible changes in No Child Left Behind, we must also be careful that the devil is always in the details. One of the things I do hope to see changed in No Child Left Behind is the timeline. The original timeline that all children were going to be at grade level within 10 years is simply not realistic. We need to look at modifying that to a 20 to a 25 year period. That will give us time to bring forward best practices and start implementing them in all schools, not just our schools here at Unit 4. The other thing that needs to be attacked, and I'm not sure because I haven't read the proposed bill yet, is to steal Mr. Novak's example. What about the Vietnamese kid who came here 3 months ago from a refugee camp and has to take this test in English in time? You know, he's not allowed an on-time test. If that child fails the test, then our school is classified as failing, and every other kid can achieve, but this child, through no fault of their own,
thank
has
you,
failed.
Candidate Stuckey. Candidate Gray.
I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for rigor and relevance in our curriculum and what we put out there to our students. However, this modified version of No Child Left Behind is long overdue. I never saw any merit in penalizing schools that are struggling. I just don't think that's ever been a good idea. And the idea that you're going to take resources away from schools that are not performing or making AYP has never been anything that's set well with me. I truly think that we need to make sure that we're assessing our children for growth in each student, not necessarily assessing them as they perform to the test or what's been, you know, commanded from on high in the education world, that this is what you're supposed to be or who you're supposed to be. I don't think that's a good idea. Each child learns differently and succeeds differently. And if we look at the growth of each child, I think that we would see our children would be more successful.
Thank you. Candidate Novak?
At many school board meetings, we ask people just to simply say ditto when we're repeating a point. I would like to point out the problem with No School Left Unpunished is the fact that we don't measure how students are doing. If you're a teacher who's got a sixth grade teacher and you get a student who's at third grade reading level, and you bring them up the fifth in the course of a year, you're a failure. If you're a teacher with a, whose student starts off as a seventh grade reading level, and at the end of the year they're still at a seventh grade reading level, you're a success. We need to have a way of measuring what the students are doing individually, not as a group.
Thank you. Candidate Brown. Citizens want school accountability from their schools. No Child Left Behind had increasing accountability as a goal. Do you think it worked?
With the No Child Left Behind, I think the idea and the premise behind it was well meant. But as far as working, as we've stated, we've all stated, measuring a child's growth with his peers, it does not work. So as far as that point, I do not think that it did work on that, because you're measuring students based on what everyone else is doing and not what that individual student is doing.
Thank you. Candidate Stuckey?
I do think the one part of accountability that worked was the bringing forth how many of our students are struggling in schools. It was no longer a whisper or a rumor or an anecdote told by an individual teacher. There was truly evidence that we, throughout the nation, have large numbers of children who are not achieving at proper levels in specific subjects. Where the accountability failed, as Mrs. Gray touched on it, is the idea that you have schools that are not achieving, and we're taking the resources out. We're making it even harder to help these children learn. And as Mr. Novak said, you know, there's other issues with No Child Left Behind. No school is unpunished for whatever reason.
Thank you. We're back to Candidate Gray. Don't forget to turn on your mic. Thank you.
I do think that NCLB was a wake-up call of sorts, not only for Champaign schools, but for the education system here in the United States. And it made us take a look at, you know, what is it that we're trying to accomplish here, and that we don't want mediocre schools, that we don't want schools that are status quo. We need to have 21st century education. Now, in the sense of accountability, I think there's, you know, some truth to that. You know, we certainly generate a lot of paperwork as a result of that, if that's what you think accountability is. And I'm not so sure that that's, you know, in the best interest of our teachers and our principals who are trying to deal with educating our children and trying to generate reports and assessment data and this sort of thing, to the point where it becomes cumbersome and gets in the way of the learning part of what they're, and the teaching part of what they're supposed to be doing. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Candidate Novak?
Accountability is very important in schools, but accountability does not just come from test scores. We need to look at what our schools are doing. Our schools need to be given the freedom to do their job, but we also need to make sure we have other assessments. One of my hobbies from time to time is riding school buses, and I'm forever amazed when I ride through a neighborhood on a school bus, and we pick up students all over the neighborhood who live within a half mile of a school, so we transport them across town. Why? We need to look at why students are not in buildings, why parents do not look at buildings. We need to hold those buildings accountable.
Thank you. Candidate Shalafu?
I think that No Child Left Behind has done a good job in making a national awareness of some of the problems in our schools, and that some of our schools have not been serving all of the children that should be getting a quality education. Unfortunately, I think it's gone too far, because in its escalating accountability, more and more of our schools are seen negatively. And now we have documentaries that talk about the failing schools in this country, And the fact is, our schools are good in this country. We are educating our children really well. We have to make sure, though, that we are educating all of the children very well. And No Child Left Behind does keep all of the school districts looking at that issue and doesn't let us slip in those in not serving all of the children.
Thank you. Candidate Brown, you talk. Okay. Candidate Stuckey, students are being suspended for behavior that is non-threatening to other students, such as skipping school. Think outside of the box. What alternative discipline practices could be explored that would allow students to remain in the classrooms instead of suspending or removing them from the class?
Well, I think my first step there would possibly be to sit down and discuss with the student and their parents why that child isn't in school. Truancy is always an issue, but there can be other factors. Some of our students are helping raise younger family members. Some of our students are truant from school because of issues with certain staff members. And it's not easy to say that they should be suspended because they're already out of school. They don't really regard a suspension as an issue. We can suspend them in school, and that might help for a while, but I don't think that's the answer either.
Thank you, Candidate Gray.
I think some of this, you know, we don't, you know, we, the board itself doesn't actually suspend the student, that but we do get the privilege of reviewing suspension letters, and it is disheartening to see so many kids suspended for one reason or another. But I think there are a couple of things that we can do. I think the truancy officer program is one that is good but can be better. But it takes time. You have to be able to build relationships with children and their families. And no, I don't think that children should be excused for skipping school, okay? That's their job. They're supposed to be in school. If they're not in school, they're not learning. And so, but I think that we have to look at ways to create a relationship with these families so that we can keep these kids in school. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to take if there's if there's a name or a program or something out there that we haven't seen yet, you know, I think there are ways to work with this, and it just needs to be explored.
Thank you. Candidate Novak?
Yes, one of the downsides of this job is every Sunday afternoon I get to sit down and read the board packet, which the district sends me, and includes every suspension letter for the district. And sometimes that's a very long task. And I'll be very honest, I have not seen cases of students suspended for being tardy or being truant. But that's not to say there's not a problem. There is a problem with getting students engaged, because more often than not, when a student has problems in other ways, it will show up as a tardy and truancy problem. We need to, again, we're back to how do we engage these students, how do we engage these parents to want them to come to school.
Thank you. Candidate Shalafu?
Yeah, I agree with Greg. We don't see a lot of suspensions for truancy and tardies. But what we do see is that kids have a lot of truancies and a lot of tardies before anything happens. They might be sent to ISS or have after-school detention and things like that. But what do? There? They sit. They don't do anything. There's no... It's great. They're out of class. They've succeeded. We really need to have the staffing so that when kids are in ISS or they are in after-school detention, there is something they have to do. This isn't fun. It'd be a lot better to be in class and have a focus. They need to get their homework done. They need to keep up with their lessons. And I think we really need to make sure that our kids that are becoming habitual truants and things like that are really taught that that's not the easy way.
Thank you. Candidate Brown?
Although there are many reasons why students may be truant to schools, we still need to hold them accountable for them skipping school for that, because ultimately they're responsible for them not showing up for schools. But I don't think suspending them, putting them out of school is the answer to do that. So I think alternative places, like I said, inside of in-school detentions or after-school detentions, there definitely needs to be homework help in there. But if we want to keep them in the classroom, we can possibly look at other forms of punishment, such as community service, because then we can get things done and get them engaged in the community and feel like the school and the neighborhood surrounding the school or the community of Champaign is a part of them and make them want to be a better citizen in a society.
Thank you. And I have a point of order. We began at 8:10. We will conclude at 9:10. So you will entertain the last question at approximately 8:58. We're back to Candidate Gray. Explain what the findings of the climate study tells you about Champaign schools. What are the two most critical shortcomings, and how would you address them?
That was a long question.
Would you like for me to repeat it?
I'm just trying to make notes here real quick. the climate study that was done, I think now 2 years ago, showed us as a district that there is still a disconnect between African American students and African American parents with the Unit 4 school district, and that is their perception, and they truly believe that, you know, there is a disconnect between them and the school. I think that one of the things that concerns me about that is that it took us a very, very long time to get this information, and that we as a district could have been looking at this information and working on this issue. However, we haven't really had an opportunity to do that. And so I think now that we have that information, it gives us an opportunity to look at those reasons for disconnect and then address them.
Thank you, Candidate Gray.
When looking at the recent findings, there are some areas of progress, there are areas of not progress. What I found most interesting was when you look at the 1999 survey and you look at the 2007 survey, many of the results tend to parallel one another. Yet the students who took the test are a different set, who took the survey are a different set of students than did it before. We've seen over 100 new teachers come in and out of the district every year for the last 8 years. And the question is, because in my mind, starts to come back to, is this a problem just of Champaign schools? Is this a community problem? Is the solution going to be just what we do, or is the community, or are we going to have to, as a school district, reach out to the community and find better solutions? I think we cannot just say, you know, it'd be nice if we could fix all the problems of the world in the schools, but we only have the students for about 20% of the week. We need to.
Thank you, Candidate Novak.
Mr. Novak is a very tough act to follow. In reading through the climate study, it's clear that we still have improvement that we need to make. There's still whether a real or perceived feeling that there is a negative climate in our schools, and that's important. And so many of the questions we've had up to this point have really come back to this too. How people feel in the schools, do they feel welcome, and do they feel like people are listening to them and taking care of them? So we have to work very hard to solve these. I thought it very interesting, the difference between what the African Americans felt and the other segment of the population on the same questions. And people's perceptions of what the climate is really varied depending on their point of view. And we have work to do.
Thank you. Candidate Brown?
What I saw in the climate study was the same, is that African American parents and students really felt a huge disconnect. They felt forgotten in the school district, and they really feel like they don't receive the same level of respect as their other students within the district. And whether that's perceived, whether that's their perception, whether it's actually real, it is a problem, because your perception ultimately becomes your reality. And so as a district, we need to proactively go to these parents and students and ask them, why do you feel this way? What exactly are we doing as a district to make you feel this way? And we need to not only ask them, but actually act upon those answers immediately following that question and answer session.
Thank you. Candidate Stuckey.
While I do agree that oftentimes one's perception is one's reality, we also have to admit here that history and past practices impact perceptions. And it always interests me when I walk into some of our older school buildings or I see pictures from past years, like the 1930s, the 1920s, even the turn of the century. You don't always see a lot of African-American faces. This was a school district that had schools that were specifically African-American. And, you know, we've gotten away from a lot of those practices, and that's a good thing. But grandmothers have long memories, and they pass those memories on to their grandchildren. So we're going to have to work our tails off for the next 30 or 40 years to impact a lot of these perceptions. And we're still going to have a lot of work to do even at that time.
Thank you. Candidate Novak, what steps will you take to develop partnerships with community agencies, groups, and individuals in an effort to reduce bullying between students?
I think that's one of those areas where we as a school district need to continue to reach out to other elements of the community. Sue Gray next to me is our expert, being a United Way person, of what community resources there are. I think we have a tendency as a school district to think we can do it all ourselves. We can't. Whether it's working with the mental health department, whether it's working with the branches at the U of I, bullying, and especially cyberbullying, is going to be a problem now, and it's going to increase, and we need to find every possible solution.
Thank you. Candidate Shalafu?
Bullying is something that doesn't take place just in our schools. It takes place in our workplaces. It takes place in the universities. It takes place everywhere. And I think an awareness of what bullying is and the effect it can have on people is so important. And the more we can take the issue out into the community and make sure the community is aware of their actions. It needs to be something that's looked at from all different angles to address the bullying. It can be, like Greg said, the cyberbullying, physical bullying. There's so many different forms it can take, and we need to use all the resources we can within the community.
Thank you. Candidate Brown?
When it comes to bullying, I just feel that as a district, we need to just, as been said, just exhaust all options. The University of Illinois, Parkland College, mental health, whoever does anything on bullying, we need to be talking to them and fully educate ourselves as a district, and then in turn fully educate the students and the parents of the district of what bullying is, what bullying looks like, because we could very well have parents whose children are bullying and they see the signs but just don't know that they are the signs of bullying. And once we do that, then everyone is aware of what's happening, and I think that would definitely help minimize the problem.
Thank you. Candidate Stuckey?
I think we need to be reaching out to the university. Bullying is an issue that educational professionals and mental health professionals have taken a distinct interest in over the last 10 to 20 years. There's a lot of research out there. It's changing what we know about bullying. And another part of it is changing our climate, not just in our schools, but as Mrs. Shalafu mentioned, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplaces. What does bullying look like? Why is it inappropriate? And the other thing is to address the culture of the bystander. Because oftentimes what's happening in bullying is there are several witnesses to the acts. And these witnesses are upset and appalled by what they see, but they don't feel empowered to address the bully's behavior. They don't feel empowered to stick up for the victim. And we need to make the bystanders more able to become more proactive.
Thank you, Candidate Gray.
Thank you. We do have a curriculum in our school that schools that address bullying. However, you know, in the classroom, you only have so much time to address that. And so one of the things that I did is I worked with Orlando Thomas at the district and brought together some community resources to help support the efforts that we're doing within the school and show the district that there are other programs out there. For example, Girl Scouts, Community Elements, Boys and Girls Club, Boy Scouts, they all have programs that deal with bullying within their organizations, and they want kids to participate in their organizations. So, again, it's about building relationships and bringing resources into the district so that the district can share those with people. I think about doing parent nights on bullying. How do we get into our churches and share the information about, like Jamar said, about what are the effects of bullying? What does it look like when your child's being bullied? And then just to commend some of the things that we're already doing in our district at Central High School.
Thank you, Candidate Gray. Candidate Shalafu, since the consent decree, there has been a disparity in the achievement gap for African American males. This gap has grown since the consent decree. How will the board address this concern?
As I said before, I think the school district's responsibility is to provide a quality education to all of our kids. If there's any groups that are falling behind, those are groups that need to be addressed. And we need to look closely at what it takes to bring those kids back into feeling like the education that we can provide to them is a valuable education. And we need to look at the various needs that they have and how we can tailor our programs more directly to those kids. We can't let any group fall behind. That's not acceptable. And we as a district and as a community have to continue to fight to make sure that all of our kids get the education they deserve.
Thank you. Candidate Brown?
Once I'm elected, I will definitely see what the board is currently doing as far as raising the disparities, and then we'll just work off of that piece because I'm sure that there's things in place currently going on that I'm unaware of. But one of the things I would just like to bring to the board is that, you know, we just go out and just ask, you know, why are you falling behind? What do you feel the problem is and what the issue is? And they'll tell us. I mean, we are elected by the community. We're elected by the people. We serve them. And so they'll tell us what the problem is, and as a board and as a district, it's our job to fix what they say is the problem and that's where we start.
Thank you. Candidate Stuckey?
I definitely agree that the achievement gap is a concern because the unfortunate reality is this gap continues into high school, college, and even into the workforce. The board is working hard to create several programs and put money into making African American males achieve at levels more indicative of their peers. The concern, however, is that we continue to follow a middle school model where boys of all ages and all economic levels do not do well, and African Americans, no matter what their economic class, do not do well. And we've had the opportunity to make two schools KA. We failed to do that. So, I mean, we're going to have to ask ourselves in the future, what model do we want to follow? And are we willing to accept that a model that creates conditions that make students not achieve?
Thank you. Candidate Gray.
Yes. You know, I do think we have made some really great strides at the elementary level. Middle school level is getting stronger, but high school is still a concern, and I think that's probably where one of the disparities still lie. And so how do we address this? I think this goes back to disconnect and to student engagement, but I also think there are programs in place. We have Operation Hope, which is challenging young people to stay in school and keep their grades up. They're doing really good things. The Academic Academy, we're reaching out to these kids, trying to keep them on track. It's a tough call. We can't fix kids overnight. And if they came into high school below grade level or struggling at grade level, it only gets harder when they're in high school, and it becomes tougher to help them accomplish that academic achievement.
Thank you. Candidate Novak?
This is one of the areas, one of the few areas where a No Child Left Behind actually lets us look at data specifically to a problem and address it. We do have a problem with our African-American students. We basically, at the elementary levels, the gap is not there. At the middle schools, it widens. At the high schools, it's the greatest. We are doing some things. We've been in a partnership with the Champaign Park District and the city of Champaign in working with around the Garden Hill School in the Garden Hills neighborhood to not only provide schoolwork but also jobs and other things. We're going to expand that to BTW. Again, this is going to be a problem that is not just a school problem. It's also going to be how do we work with elements in the community.
Thank you. Candidate Brown, serving on a school board that is majority Caucasian, that represents a district with a history of providing outstanding academic and other supports for Caucasian students, but is very lacking in its progression of service to African-American and or low-income students, what commitment are you willing to make to reaching out to the African-American children and families while representing the entire district? Did you get all that? It is.
My commitment to the board is 100%. I didn't plan on getting on this board to just address one aspect of the community or one group of people in the community. So my commitment, I plan on doing everything that it takes, exhausting all options to get it out in the community. So if that's going to specific neighborhoods and having a community forum there, that's what I'm willing to do. If that's getting everybody to a school, to a church, that's what I'm willing to do. And I'm willing, my whole purpose of being in this is to get everyone engaged in the process and get everyone to feel a part of the school district. And so whatever that entails, that's what I'm willing to do.
Thank you. Candidate Stuckey.
Well, I do think that outreach is very important, and we're going to have to look at what communities would like to see from us. You know, are there methods by which we can help these communities rally around specific schools and make them feel more attached to the district that way?
Thank you. Candidate Gray?
I think it's my job to serve all the children in this district. And, you know, it concerns me that a group of our students and families feel disconnected. I feel I've done a very good job as a parent and as a board member and as a community member to reach out to all people in this community to make connections in some form or fashion so that we can work together to build a better community, build a better school district, with the end result that it's all about our kids, all of our kids. And you know, I think our kids, you know, there are kids who come to school every day who have mountains to climb. They come to school hungry. They don't know where they're going to sleep at night. And you know, I worry about all of them. And unfortunately, our low-income students have the biggest mountains to climb. And we work on that. We need to work on that as a community, no doubt. And as a school district as well.
Thank you, Candidate Gray.
On this as a board member, you represent the entire community, not one section of it. We're not a ward, basically, we're a group. In the time I've been on the board, I worked with Christine Shalafu to start the Great Schools Together project, which actually went back out into the community to talk to people at various sites to get input. This last year, we put together the EEE committee, the Equity Education, Excellence in Education, Anyway, one of the things we made sure is that we put people on that committee who were not fans of Unit 4, the people that would ask the hard questions so that we would actually have a dialogue and not have what all too often happens. People feel there's just been a rubber stamp. Sometimes we have to have somebody out there that can ask us the hard questions.
Thank you. Candidate Shalafu?
As a school board member, we cannot represent one group. We have to do the best we can to represent every student in this community. We have to work to try and understand the needs of all the kids. Maybe we don't have those same life experiences, but we have to do our best to understand what they need. It takes a lot of effort to go out and try and connect and to find out what the community feels, where the community feels we need to make improvements. But I think the best thing we can do as school board members is to investigate and to listen whenever someone feels that they can talk to us and make ourselves available to be someone that can be talked to.
Thank you. As we approach your closing statements, we would like to respectfully request that each of you entertain this last question within your closing statement. And it is simply to state your vision for the Unit 4 School District. And we will begin with Candidate Stuckey. So again, if you could, in your closing statement, address this last question, which is, what is the vision of the Unit 4 School District? Thank you. Your vision. What is your vision for the Unit 4 School District?
Within 1 minute, right?
I believe it's two.
Two. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'd like to start by thanking everyone who's stayed with us tonight. My vision for Unit 4 in the future is a district that finds ways to serve all students, to accept that all students are going to achieve in different areas, and that's okay. The important thing is the students are working to the greatest of their abilities. It's a district that realizes that we're going to have to be very careful financial stewards over the next several years. And it's a district that realizes that the data-driven decisions that we make are not just for children in our classrooms, that these decisions are going to have to impact what we teach in our schools, how we teach our schools, and how we organize our schools, and that ideas that were brought forward in the past and touted with great fanfare and adopted by this district may not be ideas that worked out the way we wanted them to or the way we planned for them to do it. And we're going to have to work towards changing that in the future.
Thank you. Candidate Gray?
Many times as a school board member, you're asked, why do you want to do this? Why are you running again? And there's a couple of reasons why. One, I feel a very strong passion for children and their future. I think as an adult, I have a responsibility to not only my own children, but to my community, to make sure that we provide a way for our children to be successful, either in their work life, in their college life, whatever life that they choose. The foundation that we provide as a school district sets them up for the rest of their life. I think that we need to provide excellent education, not just good education, but excellent education, nothing less than that. That's what our children deserve. At the end of the day, it is about them and serving them and making sure that we're a fiscally responsible school district so that we have the resources that our children need. that we have a strong curriculum that will challenge them, but we also have the resources for those kids who need extra supports. We also need to make sure that their families are supported. There is no greater joy than to see a child when the light goes on and they get it, like they've accomplished something, they've achieved something. And to be a part of that process and to be in those buildings when those lights go on or when they walk across that stage and you get to shake their hand and hand them their diploma, it is such a privilege to me because kids are, to me, they're just our greatest treasure and resource. And anything that I can do to support them as a community member, that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you. Candidate Novak.
A good school district will give you a good community. A great school district can help make it a great community. And I think we need to work towards how do we become a great school district. There's a lot of comments that people have already made. We do need to worry about budget. We do need to worry about being data-driven. We want to have schools for the 21st century. But I think one of the most important things I see in my vision is I'd like to see a school district that does not walk in lockstep with one another. I'd like to see a school district where schools have the ability to look at the students they have and to deal with those students' problems. And if it's going to be differently between two buildings, so be it. I think we need to look at the results that come out of something like that rather than just decide, our school system is still designed to be the factory system, which one size fits all. That's not what our students are. Our students are individuals. We need to treat them as individuals, and we need to use it. We're a large enough district that we should be able to offer choices. Really have a system, we have a quote system of choice now. Too often it's a choice of where you get off the school bus. I'd rather see if we have a model of education that works differently at Garden Hills than Dr. Howard, than Westview, let's look at what works. Use the data and make our students as successful as they can be. Successful students will make the community even more successful.
Thank you. Candidate Shalafu.
I see in the future a district that provides a hands-on dynamic education for every child. A chance for every kid to explore and see the magic of learning, to try experiments and see what happens, to write essays and submit them to contests, to explore all the different avenues that are available to them. And I see adults that look back at their time in Unit 4 as the springboard to their future. We gave them the tools that allowed them to become successful adults. So how do we do this? We address the needs of all of our students, from the special needs kids who need one-on-one help to the high achievers who outguess the teachers to the kids in the middle who just get by every day. We need to address the needs of the college-bound kids and the kids who want to go into the trades. We need to provide an environment that's safe, that's stimulating for all the kids, and prepares them for a future in this world. As a board, I think we need to challenge our administration to provide these services to the kids. I think we need to work with our community to make sure our community feels secure in coming to the district and working with the district. Because this is educating our kids is not just for the schools. It's for all of us to look at together and work together.
Thank you. Candidate Brown.
First of all, thank everyone for coming out and staying. My vision for the district is just quite simple. I've stated it many times today. It's just having basically one community, having the school be the community center of the community, where the teachers and students, administration, the board, parents, taxpayers, they all are able to become just one body where they feel comfortable to have meaningful dialogue between all the groups and answer and address any issues that may come up, opposed to having one group or two groups of people that feel inadequate to be able to think they can come up to a school board meeting and speak on the microphone. I also want to see our district exhaust every option that there is for top-notch education. I believe in Champaign. I believe there's enough money, and we have enough brilliantly minded people here where we can become the number one school in this country, or it's definitely in the state. We have the University of Illinois that we really, really need to tap into. So I definitely want to see us really, really utilize that. And as well, as I said earlier before, our non-track college students, I would like to see some sort of vocational courses for them, where it be housed directly inside of our school, inside of our school district, or if we outsource them and work with our local unions here. We have a very diverse community, and I feel like our school district should reflect that as well, and also be able to handle the needs of all those students that are going to go into their diverse lives once they leave high school.
Thank you, Candidate Brown. Thank you to each of the candidates. This concludes our forum. We would like to thank the audience for your outstanding questions. We apologize for our inability to address each of the questions that we were provided. On behalf of the Champaign County of the NAACP and the League of Women Voters of the Champaign County, we thank you for joining us this evening. Please travel safely and remember to make your vote count on Tuesday, April 5th. And just before you leave, Chair Avery has a few comments.
Well, I want to thank you all for staying so late with us. And I think we all owe Dr. Cato a round of applause. She did a wonderful job for her first time moderating.
My pleasure.
And I also want to, just for your information, let you know that this was broadcast live tonight, and it would be rebroadcast on Friday, March 25th at 4:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. if you're up that late. Saturday, March 26th at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Sunday, March 27th, 3 p.m. and 11 p.m. Monday, March 28th, 8 a.m. and 11 p.m. And Tuesday, March 29th at 3:15 p.m. Just in case you missed something, there's plenty of opportunities to re-watch this. Thank you for coming out this evening.